Hebrews 11. I'll be saying that for a lot of weeks. Hebrews 11. Verse 1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, in which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So he is our message tonight. Let's pray. Give us wisdom, Lord, and speak to us and meet with us now as we open your word together. May you be glorified in this time. May we grow through it. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So, as we see here, God defines faith for us in verse 1 and then reminds us in verse 6 that without faith, we cannot please God. Well, our ultimate goal as Christians should be to please God. That's why we're here. So God says that we can't please God without faith. That we must have faith. And faith, lack of faith, if you go to Matthew 13, lack of faith limits the things that God can do in our lives, which is a shame. We don't want it to be that way. We want to see the blessings God has prepared for us. But it takes faith on our part to believe that our God can do anything. Notice Matthew 13:58. The Bible says, and he did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief. So because of their unbelief, the Bible says he couldn't do the many mighty works. You know, Jesus, when he was talking to the people, he said, have faith in God. He said, all things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing you shall receive. So we cannot please God without faith. And then he gives us this progression here in verse 6. He that cometh to God. So that's where it all begins. We must come to God. And as we know, the Bible pleads with people to come to God, doesn't it? Revelation 22:17, and the Spirit and the Bride say, come. And let him that hears say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. God says, come. Come to God. But to come to God, verse 6, you must believe that he is. And that's the key to this whole passage. That's where it all begins. A person cannot be saved if they don't believe that God exists. Of course, why would they want to be saved? If there's no God, they don't need to be saved. If there's no God, they won't answer to him. They aren't accountable for their sin. If there's no God, we just die and we cease to exist. So that's why it all begins at the fact that there is a God. So we must believe that he is. And if you go to Romans 1, the Bible teaches that in our hearts, as human beings, we already know this great truth, that God is. Now, what we do with that is up to us. Whether we move forward and try to find the God that we know exists, or whether we try to deny his existence, which is what most of the world tries now. But notice Romans 1, verse 19, the Bible says, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. Look at verse 20. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. God says that we know in our heart that there is a God. As his creation, the Bible says the invisible things of him are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made. So we can look at creation and understand that there was a creator. Right? The Bible says the heavens declare the glory of God and the firmament showeth his handiwork. We can see his handiwork when we see creation. There was must have been a creator to have a creation. There must have been a designer to have a design. So we can see that with our own eyes. We can see that life comes from life. Well, where did life originally come from? It had to come from the originator of life. We can see that man has a conscience. Where did that come from? Where did we get that conscience, that innate knowledge of right and wrong? And we could go on. But the point is, this is where it all starts. They must believe that he is. If we don't believe that he is, then that's where it stops. We must first believe there is a God before we can have faith in that God. And again, without that willingness to say, yes, there's a creator and I'm going to seek him, we just reached a stopping point, sadly. And that's where a lot of people are today. They would rather say, I don't want to believe there's a God. I want to keep pushing that out of my conscience, because as soon as I admit there's a God, then I have to admit that I will answer to him someday and I become accountable for my behavior. So it's much easier to just say there is no God, or I'd rather not think about it. So we must not only believe, number one, verse 6, that he is, but that he also is a rewarder. So again, this is about accountability, not only for sin, but also for the good things that we do for the Lord. The point is, what it's telling us is that God keeps track. God knows everything about our lives. God knows when we do wrong. God knows when we do right. That God is involved in our lives. He's not just a passive God, but he is a God who knows everything about us and cares about what happens in our lives. He's not just existing, but he is a rewarder. He is a rewarder. And Jesus, at the very last book of the Bible, he said, I come quickly and my reward is with me. In Revelation 22:12. He said, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. And when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret. And that Father which seeth in secret shall what? Reward thee openly. There's that word reward again. So when God answers our prayers, he's rewarding us for our faith, for believing in him and believing in his power, believing that he exists and believing that he is a rewarder. So we must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of who? Them that diligently seek him. Them that diligently seek him. This is what God is after. He's after, obviously he died for us so we could be saved. But after we're saved, he wants us to diligently seek him. To seek fellowship with him, to seek his wisdom, to seek his direction. Jesus said, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled, in Matthew 5. And David was an example. If you go to Psalm 63, we'll see an example of this in the life of David. He was one that diligently sought after the Lord. And this is what God wants from all of us. He wants us to diligently seek him. Psalm 63, look at verse 1. David says, O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. So look what David is saying. That I long after God. I thirst after God. This is what God is after. Them that diligently seek him. And God wants us to keep diligently asking. Go to Luke 11 and we'll see this. Luke chapter 11. Jesus told us a parable here to teach us that God wants us to diligently keep after him. Notice 11:5 of Luke. And he said unto them, which of you shall have a friend and shall go unto him at midnight and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine in his journey come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not, the door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. And I say unto you, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Jesus told that whole parable to teach us something, didn't he? Keep asking. Keep after God. And he told us another parable in Luke 18. Right? He spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Keep asking. Keep asking. In other words, diligently seek him. So, we're talking about faith. Hebrews 11 is all about faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of the things not seen. Through faith we please God. But without faith we can't please God. That's what it says. Without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe, number one, that he is. That's where it all begins. Is there a God? If there is a God, does he care about us? Has he revealed his will to us? Or did he just leave us to our own devices? This is what I always tell people then when they talk about, is there a God? I say, if there is a God and he truly cared about us, he would have told us. And he did. Amen? He wrote it down. And he wrote it down in a way that you can't deny the book is supernatural. It's science, its origins, the archaeological proofs, the prophetic proofs. We could go on and on. All the ways that the Bible is a supernatural book, outside of the fact that it changed our lives and continues to change our lives. But is there a God? If there is, does he care about us? Did he write down his will for us? Yes. What does he want now? He wants us to believe that he does care about us, that he's a rewarder. In other words, he's watching and he cares about everything that we do. And he wants us to be diligently seek him. Go to Jeremiah 29, where again we'll be reminded about this diligently seeking after God, which is what God wants from all of us. And when you read about the heroes of the faith in Hebrews 11, you're reading about people that diligently sought after God and believed that God is a miracle-working God and went forward in faith, and God worked miracles for and through them. Notice Jeremiah 29:13. You shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all your heart. So we talked a number of times about this, but in Hebrews 11, we see these action verbs over and over again. By faith they did this. By faith they did this. In other words, they believe that God is and that God cares. He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And so they went forward by faith, sought God, and worked miracles. Or should say, watched God work miracles through them and accomplish great things. And we'll see that over and over again as we go through this book. But this is the foundational truth. He is, number one, and he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So are we, obviously we believe that he is, or we wouldn't be here tonight. But do we believe he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him? Are we diligently seeking after God? It's one thing to be passively seeking after God. It's another thing to be diligently seeking after God. Do we pursue him every morning in our prayer closet? Do we pursue him through his word every day? Are we diligently seeking after God? That's what God wants. That's what it means when the Bible says the just shall walk by faith, live by faith, diligently. So they must believe that he is